Tonight kicks off a two-week celebration of Bird, and well-deserved it is. Charlie Parker is regarded as one of the leading lights of jazz, the founder, along with Dizzy Gillespie, of the fast-paced style of jazz known as bebop. Charlie Parker is ours, folks. Born in Kansas City, Kansas, he was raised in Kansas City on the Missouri side, learned his craft on 12th Street in the 1930s, and played here right on the plaza with the great Jay McShann. Bird gained worldwide fame in New York, but he's buried out at Lincoln Cemetery just east of town, and that will be the site of something special, a 21-sack salute at Bird's gravesite, both on August 29th and August 30th. If you haven't attended one of these, it's well worth considering. It's a uniquely Kansas City event that's received worldwide attention through the BBC, the LA Times, and other major media outlets. In the days to come, we'll have more information about these events and directions to the cemetery on our website, kcur.org. Joining me now to talk about all this is KCUR's Chuck Haddix, host of The Fish Fry, heard here each Friday and Saturday evening. And Chuck, always good to have you here. Welcome back.
Well, Steve, it's always good to be here with you and sitting in and also coming in and celebrating Bird. I'm very excited. There's a real buzz going on this year about this big celebration.
And there should be. I mean, it's been years and years since we've had one of these things. Why is it coming back now? What's your sense?
I think that, I think we've got a new umbrella organization, an organization that is putting it on, and that's Kansas City KC Jazz Alive, and it incorporates individuals from the American Jazz Museum, the Elder Statesman, and of course the UMKC Jazz Friends. And I think last year we had a pretty modest celebration, really, and it had kind of, well, the celebrations originally started with Eddie Baker in the 21-sack salute, mm-hmm. and then Ahmed Aladdin picked it up, and mm-hmm. everybody would go to the Mutual Musicians Foundation after the 21-sack salute and eat fried chicken.
Yeah, and I was one of them.
And yeah. I think there's been a lot of interest in renewed interest in Bird. Part of it, you know, of course, comes from the Stanley Crouch biography.
And yours
the first
as well.
Installment, and mm-hmm. then my biography, too. So there's a lot of buzz. And we've got a really nice organization that's organizing this, and they're mm-hmm. starting it off modestly. I just got an email from Jim Igoe, and New York's been doing this for 22 years.
Yeah.
And they do it at Tompkins Square Park and Marcus Garvey Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so, last year I went to those celebrations, and I started talking to people a little bit and saying, you know, we ought to do something more ambitious here in Kansas City. And lo and behold, Brian Johnston, who's with the Chiefs and the rest of the KC Jazz Alive, and Greg Carroll, and all Pam Hyder Johnson all got together, and they put together this wonderful festival. It's a two-week celebration. Kicks off tonight with a panel discussion.
I was
going to
say, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You're on the panel tonight. Bobby Watson's on the panel tonight. And Horace Washington also is talking about Bird's legacy. There's an unveiling of a Jazz Walk of Fame. There's live music every night for a couple of weeks here. And again, we'll have a complete schedule. You can go to AmericanJazzMuseum.org and get a complete list of things going on, too.
Well, what's really interesting this year, too, by coincidence, Kim Parker, Charlie's daughter, will be in town.
Yeah, wow.
She's coming in the 22nd, will be here through the 1st. So she'll be at a lot of these festivities, and she'll be staying around and spending time here. And that's really exciting. She's going to be at the Blue Room on her birthday.
Huh.
For Bobby Watson's performance.
And just briefly, Chuck, we should honor and remember Charlie. Why?
Well, because, he's a transitional figure, not only in jazz, but also in music.
Mm-hmm.
There's music before Charlie Parker. There's music after Charlie Parker. Miles Davis said the history of jazz, you can sum the history of jazz in four words, Charlie Parker and Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
And he's one of our own, too. And he's really a culmination of the Kansas City tradition. And too often, Kansas City jazz has been overlooked in histories of jazz.
Yeah. You know, yesterday you gave me a sneak preview of the tour you're going to give on Saturday at 1 o'clock as part of the Charlie Parker Historical Tour, going around town looking at some of the significant sites associated with Charlie. Let's listen to our conversation yesterday as we made our way around town, again talking about some key Charlie Parker sites. We are standing at the corner of 43rd and Broadway, just to the south of the old Streetside Records. And Chuck, we're here. Why?
This is where the site where Penn School stood. Penn School, and that's where Charlie Parker went to school from 1927 to 1932. It was built in 1880, and it was the first school built west of the Mississippi River to educate African Americans.
Wow.
And a lot of histories have said he went to Crispus Attucks School, but actually he went to Penn School and then Charles Sumner School.
he was kind of a small guy in those days. Mm. And so, and there's a picture that I found of him on the front of, in front of the school. And it's very eerie because it's a group shot, and they're, all the kids have wings on, and they gathered here for a pageant, and at the bottom it said Birdland.
Oh, you're kidding.
And the name of the pageant was Birdland.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's Bird up in the left corner, and
with a big smile on his
big smile on his face, and he went. This is where he first got introduced to the term yard bird. According to a classmate of his, they were all playing outside before the pageant, and the music teacher stepped out and said, "Hey, all you little yard birds, get in here." Referring to them as chickens. This mm-hmm. is a colloquialism for chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where he went to school.
Chuck, we're at 35th and Wyandotte, and already I'm a little surprised because I thought when we first started this tour, and you didn't tell me where we were going, that we'd be over on the east side of town, but we're not. We're at 35th and Wyandotte, and we're here. Why?
This is, well, this is where Charlie Parker was born, in Kansas City, Kansas. August 29th, 1920, and he was born at 852 Freeman, and it was a two-room apartment above a grocery store. And in 1927, his father left the railroad. He was a railroad porter, and he got a job as a janitor at the sixplex apartment building on the corner of 36th and Wyandotte.
About a football throw's toss from where we are right now.
That's correct. And because he had to fuel the furnace with coal, had to be handy, you know, and keep things running, they had to live in the area. So they moved here in 1927, to 3527 Wyandotte.
So he would have been how old then, Chuck?
He was 7 years old.
7 years old. And there's a little plaque on the right side of the door that says Yardbird Suites, established 2005.
That's correct. And they lived up in the corners. You're facing the building. They lived up in the apartment, upper right apartment. And they lived here until 1930, when they moved around the corner to 109 West 34th Street.
Was he playing saxophone back in those days?
Actually,
at age seven?
No, he picked up the saxophone in fifth grade.
Okay.
Addie bought him a saxophone when the music program was introduced at Penn School. And he played it for a little while, and then he loaned it to a friend. And he didn't pick up the horn again, and he picked up a peck horn or a bass horn when he went to Lincoln in 1933.
Lincoln High School.
High School, yeah. Mm-hmm. 1934.
Was this a happy time for him when he lived
here?
Oh
yeah, it had to be a happy time. It's a nice apartment. It's big,
very
roomy.
Nice.
You know, they talk about that. Jeremiah Cameron and the others, friends of his, Arthur, talk about how it was a happy little community surrounded by, you know, kind of a white, hostile world. But Charlie, you know, would walk down the street, walk down Broadway to Penn School.
Yeah.
And by all reports, it was a happy time. And this is pretty much what it's like. You've got the Doric columns up there,
mm-hmm.
The wooden front porch, the broad front porch. You can almost see Bird playing out in the front yard. And I've seen pictures of this from the 1940 census, and it's a very, it's not, they didn't do landscaping in those days,
mm-hmm.
but you can tell it was well tended to. It's a brick building. It's built to last.
All right. Where are we here, Chuck?
34th. We're at 109 West 34th.
Okay, and we're just off of Linwood here, still in Midtown, just a few blocks from Charlie's house that we just talked about in stop number two. And we're here, why?
This is where Charlie Parker and his family lived from 1930 until 1932. And in the 1930 census, my friend Teddy Dibble and I tracked him down, the family down, in the 1930 census when it was made available.
Mm-hmm.
And we were stunned because this is in Midtown. He was supposed to be on the east side, growing up on the east side. All other accounts said that he grew up in 18th and Vine. They don't mention this. So we found this place here.
And again, he's how old? Put us on the map here with
he
him.
He was 10 years old.
So up 10, fifth grade, sixth grade in there.
Right. Yeah. And this is the house that he probably would have been playing his saxophone at.
Yeah.
When we discovered this, it was actually empty and in a horrible state of disrepair. It's owned by a bank. And since then, they've renovated it. Fortunately, they haven't overdone it. It's pretty much what it looked like back in the day. And the house has been saved because of the publicity and the stars surrounding these two new residences that were previously unknown that we discovered.
I don't see any markers here or plaques that would tell anybody that this was the place where Charlie Parker once lived.
You know, that's unfortunate, because when you go to his place on Avenue B, it's across from Tompkins Square Park in New York. It's all about Charlie Parker. But And once again, if you go upstairs, it's 109. It's the upstairs apartment. And that's where he lived. And it's a very roomy apartment, very comfortable. And he was still at Penn School when he was living here.
Mm-hmm. And he's playing the saxophone. Did he take to it really quickly?
No. He like most kids,
how could the answer be no?
And then set it down. Mm-hmm. And then in high school, you know, and Lincoln High School he switched schools after 2 years and went over to Sumner. And they may not have had the music program that Penn had.
Mm-hmm. What else happened here during his years at 109?
Well, this is where his father and mother would have split in 32. And then Addie moved to 1516 Olive. She rented the house there. Over on the east side, yeah. And it's off of Truman Road. These are the only remaining residences. Everything else has been torn down, unfortunately.
From the Kansas City area.
From the Kansas City area, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And these were until 2005, these were unknown.
Huh.
And so we have these real treasures here, and you can see the place is actually looking good. It was very sad when we found out that Charlie's living here when we discovered it.
Okay, we're doing great. Let's move on.
Okay,
shall we? We're standing now on the Country Club Plaza, and we're here because...
Well, this is where Martin's 210 on the plaza was, and it was where Charlie Parker played with Jay McShann. Martin's on the plaza, Claire Martin owned two different nightclubs or taverns. One of them was on the plaza, the other was in Brookside. Martin's 210 on the plaza was the first club on the plaza to employ African-American musicians. And Jay McShann played here with a small ensemble in the late 30s, and Charlie Parker was a member of that group. That's where he joined the Jay McShann band for the first time, and then left the band, and then later rejoined 1940. But he was playing here with Jay McShann. It was a small ensemble. And Martin's was an Art Deco bar. It was beautifully appointed with leather and chrome.
Mm-hmm.
Just a gorgeous place. But the place was so popular, what they would do is they would start out in the smaller room, and then there was a cafeteria behind them, and they would move over to the cafeteria so that people would have room to dance. And they actually advertised on the radio, and they advertised chicken that'll knock you out, according to Gene Ramey. And Gene Ramey was a member of the band, too. And this is where Charlie got one of his early mentions. Dave Dexter Jr. wrote him up in the Journal Post about Jay McShann at Claire Martin's eatery, and they serve food too.
Now, how much money would you give Chuck Haddix to stand here today and hear Jay McShann and Charlie Parker play on the Country Club Plaza?
Well, if I had a time machine, Steve.
Yes.
I would make sure they had two seats, one for me, one for you.
Yeah, I'd like to be there too. I'd be standing there right next to you.
But you know, Jay McShann had been playing over on Independence Avenue, and this was a real step up for him because they received tips. And this particular place, Claire Martin's Plaza Tavern, attracted, well, the country club set.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened the door also for engagements at country clubs.
Yeah.
Indian Creek Country Club was one of the first country clubs that Jay played.
Now, is Charlie, when he's here on the plaza, Chuck, is he playing something similar to bebop, or has he begun to walk down that road yet or not?
He's well down that road. Mm-hmm. He's in Kansas City. He was playing bebop in Kansas City, and he began, you know, playing bebop in the late 30s. And by the time he joined left town with Jay McShann, he was a fully formed musician playing just like he would later in his life.
Now, what did Jay McShann think of this bebop stuff when Charlie started walking down that road?
Jay loved it.
Did he?
Jay loved it. Cab Calloway would not let his musicians get together and jam after hours, and that was a real rub with Dizzy Gillespie. Jay McShann would join in on the jam sessions. And bebop really comes out of the jam sessions in Kansas City. You know, the fast tempos. And, you know, they were tests of manhood, these cutting contests were. So the musicians, more experienced musicians, would pull out their all their tricks of the trade, going in and out of key, fast tempos. With Joe Jones, the drums change, where he's riding the hi-hat and he's playing rhythm on the hi-hat and dropping bombs on the bass drum.
In those days, though, Dizzy Gillespie, who's often credited as being sort of a co-author of bebop, he wasn't with Charlie Parker at that point, was he?
No, they meet here in Kansas City in July of 1940. Cab Calloway came to town, and he was playing Fairyland Park. And Jay McShann was playing a summer engagement out there. That's when they first met. And in his biography, Gillespie talks about how advanced Charlie was, how much further along Charlie was, because he was still into the Roy Eldridge thing, and Bird was already playing bebop.
So when you look at these two, Dizzy and Charlie, not that it's a contest, but which one do you credit the most with developing bebop?
I would say that Charlie Parker did. It was Dizzy Gillespie that popularized it, though. Because, you know, they were described as one heartbeat when they came together. But the two were very different. You know, Dizzy liked to clown around on stage, but he had a very stable family life. He was married to Lorraine for years, I mean. But Charlie Parker was kind of reserved on stage, but off stage, well, it was another story.
Well, this has been great, Chuck. We really appreciate you giving us the mini tour here. And you'll be doing this again on Saturday.
Saturday.
Folks can meet at 18th and Vine and hop on a bus for a few bucks, and you'll give a tour around these sites and other sites on Saturday afternoon.
That's right.
That tour is Saturday at 1 o'clock at 18th and Vine with Chuck Haddix. You can hear and see him tonight at 6 at the American Jazz Museum, a panel discussion talking about the influence of Charlie Bird Parker. That panel includes Horace Washington and the great Bobby Watson. That event is free. Chuck Haddix, you are just a treasure. Sure appreciate you coming in. Appreciate the tour yesterday, too.
You know, it's nice standing out there on the street with you doing a little gonzo journalism.
There you go. It's like the old days, man. Sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming up, Brian McTavish in your weekend to-do list.